was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work.
You better work.
Come on, girl.
Work it, girl.
No, no, no.
Do your thing on the runway. Work. Supermodel. Welcome to Respectfully
You better
Podcast.
Work, bitch.
You better work. Clock in.
You
nine
better
to five.
Work. You better frack, bitch.
You better be doing bikini waxes, nail tech, and Uber on the side.
You better work.
Oh, my God. So the first time I ever heard that song, RuPaul's Work,
yeah,
I was 13, maybe a little younger. The Spice Girls came out with...
You were a little black girl outside. I was...
Once upon a time,
there was a little white girl in Vancouver.
In Shaughnessy, the richest suburb of Vancouver.
Who had a boombox and a dream.
Who was dancing to Freddie Mercury in her underpants.
You better work,
You better
bitch.
Work. I'm gonna have myself a real good time. But the Spice Girls came out with a mixtape of their favorite music.
Yeah.
Which I thought I was just buying a Spice Girls CD.
I remember this.
And then I was just inundated with like full grown adult women's amazing taste yeah. in music.
Yeah, pop music in a way you didn't know pop music could exist.
I was like,
you better work.
Downloading queer culture directly to my brain in the whitest place in the whole world. And Short Dick Men was also on that CD as well.
Teeny weeny, teeny weeny, shrimp, little short dick man. Do you think at the same time some 13-year-old boy was listening to that and just planning a fucking shoot up his high school? With the fan? Just
that
absolutely locked and fucking loaded.
That has got to be the smallest dick I've ever seen in my whole life.
It's so funny. There's so much so much media about women being just like hideous pigs for being a size 6.
Yeah.
And then you write one song about a man having a tiny dick and it's like, well, a woman's going to get killed over this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's on TikTok now, that song.
It is.
And I use it as a sound.
And boy, and then there's like all these like upset. Fucking 14-year-old boys being like, Shut up,
you tiny dick.
Shut
bitch.
Up. Way to tell the world you have a tiny dick,
right.
You fucking loser.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Just quietly smile.
You
and
better work.
Tiny dick. Work that dick. No,
there's
you can't.
Nothing. You know what I love?
Love.
We do stand up comedy. And by famously, I mean not at all.
Yeah.
And there's like a occasionally. A boy stand-up comedian comes along
mm-hmm.
who is just frank and honest about the fact that his dick's not so big.
I love
and
when
I
they
love,
do that.
I live. Yeah. I live. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love when they do that. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's so funny that it makes me want to fuck him.
A lot of the times.
Did you guys know that? Did you guys know that if you were funny about your teeny weeny, eeny weeny, little shriveled short dick,
yeah.
you could just get pussy?
If you come into the bedroom and the first time that you're having sex, you throw on Don't Want No Short Dick Men, you tuck
and
it in between
it
your
around.
Legs. And
oh my God, I love when they tuck it.
You're so funny.
You're so funny.
We can work around it. You're we can scissor.
We'll scissor. You're funny.
Oh, I love a sense of humor.
I know. It goes so far.
And a decent sized piece. It doesn't have to be crazy.
Honestly, like whatever.
Yeah, truly whatever. But if you're a bitch about it, oink. Truly whatever. Truly who cares. Arger. Oh, yeah. But...
No, you know. I think it could be. I could probably. And like, if I was like in love with a guy who had a tiny piece, meh.
Yeah, be meh. Fine. If you cheat on me with that tiny meh. Piece, I'll cut
listen,
it right off.
Listen, here's the thing. Plenty of guys with decent sized pieces have not made me come.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what about that?
Yeah.
Who's I'm talking about that besides every woman
you
in media?
You better work.
You better work, bitch.
That could also be our song.
Or you could be gay. A lot of bottoms don't want you to have a super big piece because it's in their pooper.
Thought about
so
that.
So maybe just be gay.
I'm not thinking about the pooper in the way that gay men are.
Yeah, I was briefly and then I stopped.
you were locked into the pooper zone.
I was doing a little pooper stuff, but
I
then
remember.
I got out of there.
I remember.
Pooper, I hardly know where. Welcome to the show.
Okay. As chronically online.
Do we introduce ourselves when it's just us? Did we already?
Well, not always, but yeah, it's Andrea and Lizzie. What do you
guys,
what
you
do
get
you,
it.
You fucking know.
You get it. We look exactly like we do in the drawing on the podcast thing you're listening to.
The thinnest.
That's us.
That's exactly us.
That's who you're listening
to.
No
need to look at a picture or a video unless it's a clip. But since we are a cool, hip, young female podcast.
Yeah, I went out at 11 last night.
Wow. Shocking, amazing.
Cool, hip, young. Went to a bar, got there at 11:41, baby.
That's fucking crazy.
I was like, what am I, 19?
Yeah, I know. You're 40. What are you doing?
I literally the whole time was going up to people being like, I'm 49.
This is crazy. I have to go to work tomorrow
morning.
What am I
doing here?
We have to do a Chaperon update, as that is.
Oh, yeah. As the foremost reporters on Miss Roan.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, okay? I wanted to go to the All Things Go Festival in New York City. Mm-hmm. It's a music festival. It had a lot of cool bitches. I think Mannequin Pussy was there. Love them.
Yeah.
If you're not into Mannequin Pussy, get into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chapel Run was going to headline, and I looked into it. Tickets were crazy expensive.
500, right?
For like the worst ones.
Five bills.
Dude, there was like VIP tickets that were like $25,000. It was like, I mean, maybe not actually, but you know what? It was like absolutely bananas. And I mean, also, I didn't look at it in time, so these are like resold tickets.
Yeah.
But like,
it was
very expensive. And it's a festival, so like, festivals are expensive. You get to see like 9 bands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I went to Burning Man. I understand this.
So, yeah. Music festival, Burning Man, and not anything else.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chapel Roan, as I'm sure you've heard,
yeah,
canceled like the day of or the day before or something.
Yeah. Day before, I believe.
Day before, canceled. People are flying in.
Mm-hmm.
Getting spent hotel a lot of money.
Rooms, getting sitters.
Blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing, gang.
Mm-hmm.
There's two opinions on the internet that are floating around my sphere, and maybe there's a secret third one I don't know about.
Let's hear them.
But these are the opinions that I'm aware of. One, everybody calls out of work. She's a busy lady. She's a little mentally ill, maybe. So maybe she got a little tired from her mental illness and she couldn't do the show. Okay. Everybody has the right to call out of work. Sure. That's one opinion. Put that over there.
Did she...
Second opinion.
Question. Are there people who just... I know that a lot of people...
I'm sure.
...came just as here, of course, but it was not like... People didn't get tickets. People can still go to the festival, is what I'm saying.
The ticket was for like the day.
Okay. So they're still
it's
having
not like
an
you
event.
You could buy tickets to just her set.
Okay. Got it.
So the other side of the internet is saying, like, basically she's a diva.
Mm-hmm.
And people did pay all this money. They did fly out. Yada, yada, yada. You can fill in the rest.
Yeah.
Here's my little hot take on the situation.
Sing it.
Both.
Right.
Both things are true.
Right.
She can call out of work.
Yeah.
She can be like, I don't want to do this. I'm tired. I didn't realize how exhausting this tour would be. And it's really wreaking havoc on my body. And if I do this show, it's not going to be a good show.
Yeah.
So I don't feel comfortable doing it. And also, if you paid to fly to New York and bought a $2,000 ticket, you can be pissed off.
Yeah.
Those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. And there are people on the internet saying, like, the people that are saying, like, she has a right to cancel, blah, 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 are acting like... This is going to ruin her career. Buddy, she's beyond that.
Yeah.
Canceling one fucking show isn't going to ruin shit for her. She's fine. She doesn't need you to make a TikTok about it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think because people feel so people feel so passionate about her, the queer community feels so passionate about her and all these things, I feel like they need to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy.
She's good.
Straight girls in Tennessee are dancing to Pink Pony Club at their wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean,
it's absolutely fucking fine. All of her shows are going to keep selling out. It's fine.
The thing with Chapel Roan, and, you know, there was Kamala Gate where she came out with a very neutral statement.
And then she followed up and she said Kamala wrong and everybody fucking pooped their little diapies.
Yeah. So... And I think out of that statement, from what I remember, and I may be misquoting it, the one part of it that I was like, ew, was she said there's problems on both sides, which I think and I don't know if someone handles her, but like that sentence is remnant of the Trump good people at both sides. So who let
because
her
my thing is like
fucking say that?
My thing is like, agree.
Right.
But we're not the guys who say that.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Exactly.
I know.
That particular sound, the verbiage, that sentence is so fucking loaded. Well,
right. There's not enough problems on both sides.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Another little pet peeve that I have is like a lot of people will like make TikToks and shit being like they'll be like Chapel Roan's PR team needs to blah, 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 blah. And there's just this like, there's this thing that's sort of happened on social media in the last like 5 years where everybody thinks they know how show business works.
Yes.
Every fucking Tom, Dick, and Harry thinks they know, like, this is how it's supposed to go. This is who's supposed to be in charge of this, blah, blah, blah. Hey, buddy, you've never been a pop star.
Yeah.
You have no fucking idea who's running your Instagram or how this works. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I got a podcast.
It does. And we're in showbiz, baby. We're wearing funny hats and glasses, and we're in showbiz. I mean, I imagine that, but based off of her statements, it does seem that she is making statements on her own. Because I imagine that maybe someone also, would have caught that.
But also, I'm like, these people think they know, like, okay, one of the reasons Chapel Roan is famous is because you feel like you know her.
Yeah, of course.
You know? You think she doesn't have a fucking PR team that's like, fired off, bitch?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't. That could totally be what's
it
going
could be,
on.
Yeah, it could be true. I mean,
like, these people are experts at this. These people who handle...
We are talking about her.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. These people who handle people... Like, Chapel Roan is a person who's worth multi-millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You think the people around her don't know what the fuck they're doing?
True. I mean, the thing...
You think a person with a TikTok account knows more about what she should be doing than them?
It's got to be much deeper than we
that's
know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I will say...
It's the goddamn Illuminati.
It is. It's the lizards...
The lizards are controlling the Instagram. Yes, and deal with it.
Chapel Roan is a lizard.
Also, I think we're not supposed to say lizard because I think that's like Jew anti-Semitic. Stuff.
Yeah, whoops, sorry, discount that. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. I can't keep track of like every dog whistle.
You just look over, I'm a dog blowing a whistle.
Dog blowing a whistle.
I think Chapel Roan represents the tension between young people.
Yeah.
And I would not say boomer old, but I would say
Gen X, late millennial. Yeah. Or I guess early millennial.
Right. Because I think young people have always represented the ideal of what the world should be.
Yeah.
And because they are vocal and they make us think about things that should change, it's valuable. And I agree with them. And there's also a naivete to them that they don't get what the world is actually like.
Yeah.
And the feasibleness of like how things can actually move through space and like a reasonable middle ground as you grow old, you're like, okay, because I absolutely fucking agree. The shit with Israel is egregious. Like the Dem libs. I'm not like, oh my God, they're going to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that notion that's like, I was a teenage anarchist is like a saying,
right?
You know,
right.
Like I was, when I was a teenager, I was like, let's fucking burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
And then I like got an apartment and I was like, well, not this one.
No, guys.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just like what happens.
And so I do think like we need people like her to be like, hey, this is all really
fucked
up. But I'm also like, Miss Lady.
Well, I mean, the whole thing with everybody that's like, I'm not voting for Kamala Harris. The thing about that is just like, bitch, there is not enough time to fix this right now.
Right.
And we unfortunately do have two options. And I totally get it. That's not how I should say that. But like, I understand that there are problems on both sides. I understand that.
Yeah,
I know that Kamala Harris doesn't represent my values.
Yeah.
I can comfortably say that. And I don't think that she is the best option for oppressed people.
I don't think that's a radical thing to say.
I don't either. Means. But I also know that the other option is
crazy fucked up.
If your plan is to mobilize and create real change, it is possible that neither of these options will let you do that. It is true that one absolutely won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that sucks. I get that fucking sucks dick, but I didn't invent the world. I'm just talking about it into a microphone. So don't fucking come for me.
It's also like there was, because Chapel Roan's audience is queer, very skews, very queer. And I would imagine
female.
I also, just real quick, don't think it does anymore.
Right, yeah.
I think Chapel Roan is, I don't want to erase how important she is to queer people, especially queer women. Like, I do think that there's more of like a holy fuck, there's somebody like us, and that's sick, and I love that. But like, I'm watching videos of like bachelorette parties in Austin, Texas, where a bunch of blonde straight girls are dancing a Pink Pony Club.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
There's also like YouTube comments on our videos, because you know I'm always deep in the YouTube comments. Like, I'm I'm a 50-year-old dad, and I am crying listening to this.
Oh, what have you done? I'm almost like, whenever I see that, I'm like, because you didn't get to be gay.
Yeah, but dude, big time.
Because it wasn't okay to be gay.
She's liberating.
I'm like, bitch, you are gay. You're gay. You're a gay bottom.
Dad. You're gay dad. You're gutless
you
bottom.
You better work. Gutless bottom.
but like, because during Trump's administration, he put those Supreme Court justices in that ultimately led to
the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
I am like, buddy, you cannot also be surprised when queer people or people with uteruses are like, hey.
And also, if I may, Trump is running a campaign ad right now. I don't know if you guys have seen it at all. But he's running all that shit that he said during the debate about Kamala wanting the surgeries for they-thems in prison.
Yeah, yeah, aliens.
So he has this whole campaign ad right now that's like, I think the tagline is, Donald Trump is for America. Kamala Harris is for they-them. And that's like it's like a slam on her.
That's
so it's like,
really funny.
He's truly running an ad campaign right now that is just like, fuck trans people.
Yes.
Like,
he's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not hiding behind anything anymore. Like, there was like, there was a moment where like they were skirting around the issue of trans people or whatever. And now it's like,
doing a little roof.
Now it is hateful.
Yeah.
Rhetoric, hateful bullshit, things that are truly inspire
immigrants
violence.
Eating dogs.
Well, things that like truly inspire violence when somebody is publicly talking about drag queens and trans people
burning
and gay
books.
People being fucking pedophiles.
Yeah.
That is going to make people kill trans women.
Right.
That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Think about how you feel about pedophiles. And I'm not saying this as an excuse to anyone who would do this, but these people are so brainwashed that they think, when they hear that, they think that that's true.
Yes.
Okay? So think about how you feel when you know somebody is a sexual predator.
You want them dead.
You want them dead.
Yeah.
So if somebody who has these people hanging on to every fucking word he says, even though it's fucking gobbledygook.
Yeah.
Is saying that trans people are fucking groomers and pedophiles or whatever, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm on team get that guy away from the microphone.
Right. Which is why when
and the law get him away from the policies,
and that's why I'm like, Miss Roan, maybe.
I also will say this. She posted a follow up video saying that she is voting for Kamala.
I saw that. Yeah,
and I kind of agree with her that I don't think people who are pop stars should have to like formally endorse a presidential candidate.
Yeah,
especially when the better option is someone who has a lot of shit going on you don't agree with.
Right.
So, like, I do see her point when Kamala Harris is still not blatantly calling for a ceasefire or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I see the point in being like, hey, I don't want to endorse someone who is in many ways endorsing genocide. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
That can and should be the job of an artist, and if you're a politically motivated artist.
Right. Also, just because, I don't know, I think, I don't know exactly how I feel about this, but I'm pretty sure I think just because you're a public figure doesn't mean you necessarily have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that it's everybody's responsibility to be socially conscious. But I do think there's a lot of ways in which you can, like Chapel Roan has done, there's a lot of ways in which you can be like, hey, trans people are people. Drag queens are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
This is that's my politics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like black trans women founded the art that I take part in, and I'm going to talk about that.
Right.
You know, that's still socially, you don't have to talk about literal politics mm-hmm. to be politically and socially conscious.
Sure. I do think because of the nature of fame now, specifically this fame that she has benefited from, which is that this is not just a fame. Like when there are famous people back in the old world, say like a Queen, Freddie Mercury, whatever, these yeah. like huge stars, they were stars and we didn't get to know them. We didn't do a get ready with right. me. We didn't get to like.
But they were all also politically.
For sure.
You know.
So, but what I'm saying is they are now celebrities like this. Musicians are like a big part of this for sure, are like mega influential yes. now more than they used to be, because we don't feel back then we were connected with them,
we were connected with their art,
right, but we didn't see them getting
That's
ready
what I'm
to
saying,
go
yeah.
to a show, and so it's yeah. like I do think
I don't need to know Chappell Roan's curly hair routine,
right, and and I love that we yeah. like I think there's something really cool and unifying about being able to access one another in that way, but she is benefiting from the fan base that is so supportive. And I do think that her influence is bigger because of the way fame
yeah,
works
totally.
Now. And I'm kind of like, you have to be thoughtful about what
yes.
you say, because you are super influential and you're benefiting financially and in
yeah.
your career through this influence. So just think about things a little bit,
yeah.
you know, but I fuck it. It's the same. Like, two things can be the same. I do agree with her.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
agree with her on paper. I'm like, fucking yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
But scary.
Yeah. It's also like, I don't want to like come for one of the only famous people that's actually calling it a genocide.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the other hard thing about it.
Macklemore.
Except for Macklemore. Shout out Macklemore.
Shout out Macklemore.
Shout out Macklemore.
Return of the Mac. Oh, God, I love him. I wonder. We were like, let's keep it light in the beginning of this episode. And we're full genocide. There's another topic that I want to touch on. And I'm wondering,
we're full anti-genocide.
We're full no genocide.
We're empty genocide.
Is this thing on? Okay.
You better work.
Cover girl.
Sorry.
Genocide. It does have a great.
Sorry.
Dude,
sorry,
what a
sorry,
great
sorry,
drag
sorry,
queen
sorry.
Name.
Maybe we should cut that.
Miss Genocide.
No way, dude.
Yes, way. All right, let's take a little break and then we'll come back with a little bit more juiciness.
Nice.
You better work.
Genocide. You better work. Pedophile. Work it, girl. Genocide. Do
pedophile?
Your thing.
Drag queen. Just kidding. Oh. That would be really damaging to the drag community, probably.
Let's look up this girl on the pedophiles. Is this? No, sorry. I'll cut that. So this, unfortunately, Bummertown, USA. You have not seen the new Ryan Murphy, Menendez
no,
brother
no.
monster
Ryan
show.
Ryan Murphy, complicated individual.
Yeah, I know. People are having mixed.
Complicated. By the way, I just saw a picture of him for the first time.
Not cute.
Okay.
Let me say. Good thing he's rich. I'll
Talking
say
about
that.
Things that are a little scary.
Yeah. Maybe it's because he's spooky inside.
Maybe it's because you're a little scary.
He's a little scary looking.
He's a little scary. If he was in your apartment, if you came home, flipped
oh
your lights
God.
On, Ryan Murphy in your apartment. Hammer to the skull.
Yep. You're dead. Did you see the Dahmer show?
No.
Okay.
But so I saw the Versace. Was that him?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw yeah. that. And I've seen some American Horror Stories.
Okay. So you get
so
the
I'm
whole...
familiar with his vibe.
Yes.
His weird little vibe.
He's got a weird little vibe, which I'm very into. You know, I love the darkness.
He does look like he could kill you at any moment.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He's like, also, like, I don't know, everybody who makes, like, scary stuff, mm-hmm. like, everybody is like, this is my show and it's about murder rape. I'm like, okay.
Let's check that
you
out.
Seem like you want to see that really bad.
I mean, his show does cover a lot of his themes are like people with antisocial personalities
yes.
who are like a problem,
yes.
which is interesting to me.
I also wonder if, you know, he made American Horror Story
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people were like, this is like way too fucked up to be on TV. Like, this is like, there's like a guy in a gimp suit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like cutting people open or whatever. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it was like that. Like, that's not like a stretch. That
yeah.
might have been
no,
what happened.
No, not a stretch at all.
And it was like just on cable. And I, like, that was one of the times where like the like Christian moms being like, this is too much. I was like
yeah.
you kind of have a point.
Yeah,
here.
This is crazy.
Anyway, I do sometimes feel like he like pivoted to true crime.
Uh-huh.
To be like, that's like such an easy way to get away with that stuff.
Definitely.
Like, to be like, no, this actually happened, so I'm just showing what happened, and it's not like I love it. You love it.
He does.
You freaky little pervert. You love it.
But I'm a freaky little pervert, and I love it not in terms of, like...
We all are. Watching shows like that is like when you touch a bruise.
Yes.
It feels bad, but it feels good.
Well, and the Dahmer one, a lot of people had took issue with the Dahmer one because it was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. And
yeah,
the victims of Dahmer, their families are still alive, and there's a really valid point in, like,
totally,
you're trotting that out,
yeah,
for profit and artistic merit and whatever. The Menendez brother show is complicated, and a lot of people have,
well, the Menendez brothers case is complicated.
Yeah. So if you don't know about it, and you don't have to watch a show to understand what's going on, the Menendez brothers are two very affluent young sons, and they killed their parents with shotguns
when they were like teenagers,
late teens. And brutal murder. It was very sensationalized. They were in Beverly Hills. Their family was very affluent. Afterwards, they went on like a spending spree. The trial was framed initially that they were trying to get their parents money, and they killed them, and they were like cold-blooded sociopaths. Yeah. Cut to further detail into it, the Menendez brothers were allegedly viciously sexually abused by their father.
Yeah.
And I've been deep in the Reddits and the research and whatever. The show takes the position that they're telling the truth, but it also sheds some potential light on.
Yeah, I read that the idea of the show was to be like, was to show every possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every side of the case. So, like, the prosecution side was they were not abused. They wanted their parents' money.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense's side was they were abused, and that's why they killed their
parents.
And
they were scared for their lives, and they should be given a manslaughter charge instead of a potential being put to death. And, like, what I do like about Ryan Murphy's show, The People versus OJ did this a lot, is, like, it shows a snapshot in time where, like, them being male sexual abuse victims, like, people didn't believe that was, like, quote, a thing. And there was one of them, Eric Menendez, was potentially a queer man. There was like some smoke about that, and that made him like unsympathetic to male jury members. And there is, if you want to watch this show, then there is an episode called The Hurt Man, which is a monologue done by the actor who, I can't remember, I think he's Eric Menendez, where he talks about his sexual abuse. It's He's talking to his lawyer. She's having him go through the entirety of the details of the abuse. It's fucking one of the most amazing pieces of television I've ever seen. Stuart Fullerton and I, past guests of the show, were like fucking text me like, oh my God, free the Manette. Like, it couldn't be more. The way that he like plays and he looks down a lot, like the way people who've been abused have like such deep shame and like can barely talk about what happened. And like there was like a childlike quality to him. It was fucking heartbreaking. And I would love to know if they interviewed like people who survive sexual assault to do this monologue.
I guess the Menendez brothers are not happy about this.
They didn't watch it, and they're not happy that a show is being put out.
Right, that's what I mean.
In their
name. So I'm just
saying,
like, I know for sure they didn't talk to them.
Definitely not. For sure, no, they didn't. And I think the Menendez brothers, I don't know anything about their feelings about it, but I think they were so sensationalized in the press the first time that this is just like...
I get wanting this to be over.
For sure. For sure. 100%. 100%. But this whole thing, it was like... wildly, and I gotta hate to say this, it was like wildly fucking triggering for me.
Yeah.
Because, not because I was sexually abused, but there were some things that happened in my household that I would consider emotional abuse or whatever it was. And so much of the attitudes in this show and in real life is that like they're spoiled little rich kids. And I really fucking take it. People don't care about child abuse. Like they say they do,
in general,
but our system does not reflect protecting people who are abused. But people really don't give a fuck when privileged children are abused.
Well, I think that's true for both extremes for different reasons.
Yeah, for sure.
People don't give a fuck when rich kids are abused because their lives are perfect or whatever. And then people don't give a fuck when poor...
Destitute.
When children who live in poverty are abused because... people don't give a fuck about children who live in poverty.
Right, right.
And also, like, that's what happens or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And, like, if, you know, like, if their parents wanted a better life, they would stop doing drugs.
Right,
or whatever.
Right,
and,
right.
Like, as if that's reflective at all of the child. And then you can say the same thing about rich people.
Yeah.
Oh, if they're, oh, their parents are all on pills or whatever. It's yeah. like, none of, they're all, we're talking about fucking children here.
Yes. And there's, like, the thing about being in an abusive household when you are in an affluent household with a really, because their parents, specifically their dad, is like a hugely influential, mm-hmm. hugely powerful man, is that like they were, and there's evidence, telling people this was happening yes. to them. And the parents were just too powerful to like, to
it had, nobody it was going to do anything.
No one was going to do anything. And there's just like their spoiled little rich kids attitude. And it's yeah. like, can you imagine? Like, there's this hatred of hyper elite wealthy rich people, which is completely true and like valid. Mm-hmm. But if you think that those people are monsters and like are represent the power structure, do you not feel bad for the people that are closest to them in that they have no right. fucking chance, especially a child, to stand up to that person?
Yeah.
They have no chance to get out.
Yeah. The other thing is nobody asked to be born.
Right.
And it's nobody's fault for either being born wealthy or being born poor.
Right.
You know, so like whatever you can say that a child has an amount of privilege.
For sure.
I don't know what your point is by saying that if we're talking about abuse.
Right.
I don't know why that matters even a little bit at all. Like, is your argument that it cancels out? Because it doesn't.
Right.
Like, and also, I follow a girl on TikTok who was literally tortured by her parents.
And the Menendez brothers were, if their accounts are true,
right.
like physically this, tortured, cutting, rape, like this trigger, girl was trigger, like, trigger, trigger, trigger.
This girl was absolutely tortured in the house she grew up in. She was sexually abused. She was physically abused. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Her, I don't want to say who it is, even though she's public about it, because whatever. Her brother, she was like on TikTok live talking mm-hmm. about this mm-hmm. and her brother like joined the live mm-hmm. who she's not in contact with because he doesn't believe her.
Sure.
And was saying, right. You weren't abused. You were spoiled.
Right.
Our parents treated you better than anyone else. And on the live, she was like, yeah, I understand why that's your point of view. Your dad was grooming me. That's yeah. why he was spoiling me.
Right.
Yeah. He gave me everything I wanted because he was fucking me.
Well, and this really, another part of this whole thing that really, and they make a really good, they make a point of like showcasing this dynamic, which the Menendez parents, there's a few things about like the family systems where abuse like this is happening.
Yeah.
One, they snapped because allegedly the mother admitted that she knew.
Right.
And especially during this monologue, the Menendez brother, who we would call like the scapegoat, who was like the one, because you're talking yeah. about there's one child typically that is like the beloved, groomed, golden yeah. child. And then there's the scapegoat who is hated and ostracized. Yes. And the scapegoat often bonds with the parent who's the enabler because mm-hmm. it's all they have. Like they have this monster of a parent that they're terrified of. And then they have this other parent who isn't actively hurting them.
And in some cases overcompensating.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like not actively hurting them, but enabling it and feeling guilty. So yes. bonding even more. Also even like creating a little emotional incest where yeah. it's like mommy's sad.
Mommy's sad. Now you're mommy's boyfriend.
Right.
Not like emotionally.
Right, right. And so the inciting incident, I think, was the mom being like, of course I fucking knew.
Yeah.
And like, I just wanted to keep this family together. That was a lot yeah. of the rhetoric.
The girl I was just talking about said that her mom found video. This is so fucking sorry. This is like a huge, even though we've been talking about it, this is like
trigger,
a huge
trigger warning because I'm
going to say the thing.
Yeah.
But her mom found videos of her dad having sex with underage women on his computer.
Sure.
Underage girls.
Yeah.
Girls.
Girls, yeah.
And she called her. She called the girl I'm talking about. And she, the woman that I'm talking about goes, were any of them me? And her mom said, I don't have time for this right now.
Right.
And hung up the phone.
Right.
And so she went home and had a conversation with her mom. And she was like, you know that he's doing this to me.
Right.
And her mom said, I can't see him that way.
Right. Crazy.
Crazy.
You're
crazy.
Brain is fucked.
Yeah.
And so.
And now this woman has to just be a person.
That, and that's in this monologue. He's the lawyer is like kind of going after the mom a little bit. He's like, where was your mother in this? Your mother could have called the cops. Your mother could have what a blah, 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 blah. And he like wouldn't fully talk shit about the mother.
Yeah.
And it was so fucking heartbreaking because it's like, God, that is also an abuser, but you had nothing.
And also in so many of these instances, I'm sure that the mother is terrified
100%.
Of the predator father. An abusive person is an abusive person to everyone in their fucking life.
And that is another part of this that I thought was super fascinating is the scapegoat golden child thing, which is like we just kind of went through it a little bit. But like the golden child is still all fucked up. Like they are championed as like the representation of the family. The immense pressure that is put on that person makes them a different person than they should have or could have been.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times the golden child is like resembles the abuser more often.
Yeah.
Like they become, but just because they're not a perfect victim and just because you don't like them, it doesn't mean they're not a victim. And the thing that really made me fucking sad was this like separating of the two children stops them from talking to each other.
Right.
Like it's a very, whether it's thought out in a premeditated way, it's intentional.
Yeah.
And like, it like ruins your chance to have a family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it ruins your chance to have a connection with your sibling that isn't completely fucked up. It ruins your chance to get out of it because there's all this politic that's being thrust on you.
Especially the whatever child ends up being the child that says something or does something.
Right.
Even if the only thing they do is leave.
Right.
Even if one person leaves and decides to go no contact with the abusive parents, that person now is the villain of the family and doesn't get to have siblings.
I mean, I was more vocally the person who was not in contact with my dad and honest about some of the stuff that was going on. And there was definitely a general attitude, not from my brother, but just in general, there was the idea that I was dramatic or making too big of a deal.
And how could anyone think that?
I mean, come on, I'm subtle as fuck. But it was like...
No, but
it's just, you're right. Hugely. No, I get it. You're trying to cut this child abuse with a little.
I'm just doing podcast stuff.
I mean, I get it, but it's like fucking crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Of course, it's crazy. By the way, I'm gonna say this, and I know that you were technically an adult when this stuff happened, but not everyone is, and you were still very young. If a child is being dramatic about something, that's not a huge fucking bad. Their character is not bad.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? If your instinct is to say that a child is being hysterical or dramatic,
right,
that first of all, they probably aren't. Second of all, even if they are, it's coming from something.
Right.
Something is happening.
Well, because they go
It's a fucking kid, dude. Like, to this like idea that people have that children are supposed to know how to, like,
regulate,
you said, like, be a perfect... But also, like, if abuse is going on, children are supposed to know to, like, tell a teacher.
Right. It's their
and be really like truthful and coherent about it.
Especially if they live in a household where there's like a powerful, dominant parental figure.
Anyone who's being abused is being brainwashed.
Yes.
You want a child to break out of that.
That's
and
your
be like
God, essentially.
Hey, I know I'm not supposed to tell
Yeah.
That's fucking bananas, dude.
And I mean, I was talking about this in therapy. I mean, if you are a victim of emotional abuse or otherwise, trigger on watching it. But I do think if you feel in a good place to watch the Hurt Man episode, if you were sexually abused, a lot of people are saying that it's like really shows all the feelings in like a really beautiful way.
Maddie Wiener, past guest recently, has a great, I don't want to do her bit, but basically she has a bit about how like adults make fun of emo kids.
Mm-hmm.
and like seen kids. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, they're suicidal children.
Right, right, right. And they're like, ooh, makeup.
Maybe we should cut that because it's her bit. But yeah. Anyway.
We get it.
But yeah, I mean, it's
a very interesting look into like a lot of intersecting.
A lot of people look at women like us who are not traditionally like, God, I want to get married and have a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And assume, people have said to my face that their assumption of me is that I hate children.
Right.
I don't.
Same. Yeah.
I don't. I think that children don't get the respect that they deserve mm-hmm. in society.
Mm-hmm.
I think that children...
Not protected.
I think that children are like... they have no autonomy. They like kind of don't have any rights in a way because they are like absolutely
dependent
and like wherever, however they are born, whatever world that they're brought into, for a while at least, they're just fucking stuck there.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can do about it. And to take any sort of attitude that any of that is on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or has anything to do with them or is reflective at all of them is fucking bullshit.
You're insane.
I remember being a kid and my parents would call me spoiled sometimes if I was acting spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if I was being annoying.
Sure.
You know?
And I was definitely those two things at certain points. Yeah.
I remember being a kid and still having the wherewithal to be like, well, if I'm spoiled, that's your fucking fault.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Do you mean? Like, as a kid, I'm supposed to be like, actually, I don't deserve dessert tonight. I wouldn't want to get spoiled.
I'm going to regulate myself.
What are you fucking talking about? I can barely do that now.
I mean, right. And by one of my last conversations with my dad before he passed, not in the year that he passed, but a year before, he like threatened to sue me over something I said on a podcast. Can't sue me now.
That we know of.
Right. Yeah. Who knows? But part of it was like, I gave you everything and that used to work for me. Like I sent you to the best schools. I blah, blah, blah. I put you in position to succeed, all this stuff. And when I was younger, that would have worked on me in terms of like, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, that's your job.
That's your job.
And you had money and wanted to do that.
Totally.
But like you, what?
Dude, my parents would do that. I went to private school and my parents would do the like, we did everything for you speech, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the whole time I was in middle school, I begged to go to public school.
Right, right.
Begged to be transferred to public school.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you did, and thanks.
But did you send me there just for me, or did you send
there
also for you to have a kid in private school?
Did I ask for that?
Yeah.
Did I ask for any of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Or would we still be having the same fight if you hadn't done that?
Right. And there's also one final thing about this monologue that was so impactful, I thought, was that there was like questions about his sexuality and the media and everyone was super gross and shitty about it. And he was like, I don't know about my sexual orientation
mm-hmm.
because I was
abused
by a same-sex parent.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll never know.
Right.
And I'm like, and in addition to that, he's like, I know I did it, but I killed my parents.
Yeah.
And now I'm also that.
Yeah.
So like I am not a real person.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, fuck, that was so, it was such a perfect way to say that. Like I'm not a real person. Because I think a lot of people who suffer from that level of child abuse to have very little attachment to identity.
Yeah. Well, also that's like how your brain copes with sexual abuse.
Right.
You like the woman I was talking about earlier is like, she completely dissociated from her life for years.
Of course.
For years.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. And thank God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it is horrible.
Yeah.
And now you have no, those are like fundamental years where you gotta be fucking listening to your brain.
You don't get to know who you were.
I mean, this is something that's true about sexual assault and abuse in general. Like I've talked about this probably before, but it is how I feel. I've been sexually assaulted. That's not like a secret.
Same
it's happened to me a bunch of times. And I've always had this feeling that's like somebody else made a decision and now something is true about me forever.
And now I have to go to therapy.
Or like whatever it is. Like that is true about me forever.
Yeah.
There's no way for me to change that. And I had no hand in deciding that.
Yeah.
And that is a horrible feeling.
Right.
So like
a powerlessness.
And again, I don't know what happened to the Menendez brothers. I tend to believe people when they say they were sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if that experience had made me do something I regretted.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's like, I have to be this person that shot my parents.
And also, we can't say for sure that it didn't. I was a drug addict for almost 10 years.
Right.
Are those two things related? I don't know. My therapist would say probably.
Our therapist would agree on a few things, for sure.
I like to be like, oh, what? I just liked it.
It had nothing to do with any of it. I don't believe in correlation.
I was cool.
I was just a fun fucking guy.
I was a cool party guy, dude. Shut up. You know.
You have to live with it.
You know,
you better work. Abuse victim.
The body keeps the score.
Oh, God. Relentless Killjoy episode. Let's finish her off.
We need to say something funny.
I mean, buddy, we're too deep in already.
Okay.
Make a fart noise if you want.
Hey. You better fart.
IBS. All right, there we go.
That's something.
So this is one of your hot takes, which is...
What, I got to do another one?
You got to do another one. I mean, I can...
Oh, my God. I'll do it. What is it?
OnlyFans.
Oh, okay. Let me just... Give me the fan in the butt. OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. This lady?
This is... I mean, the broad strokes of this is... if you are a young woman and you're listening to this,
mm-hmm.
and you are not sure what you want to do with your life,
mm-hmm.
don't make a fucking OnlyFans. The answer is not to make an OnlyFans. There's a lot of rhetoric on social media about how OnlyFans is empowering
mm-hmm.
and how it can get you out of
poverty.
Not even poverty, but just like the being broke of being young.
Sure.
You know, most young people are broke.
That you hate your boss right. and whatever.
Most young people are not poor, but broke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like maybe your parents have enough money that if you were really in trouble, you could ask them, but you work in a restaurant and it fucking sucks. I get it. I've been that. I've done that. Here's the thing. You are being inundated with information that OnlyFans, A, works.
Mm-hmm.
B, is up to you.
Yeah.
And C, therefore, is safe. That is simply untrue.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of us, a lot of young women, a lot of the people who listen to this podcast and a lot of the people who are on the side of social media that are hearing these things, I know that you don't stigmatize sex work. I know that you think that sex work is an option for you if you think that because in your head it's not stigmatized. And I think that's fucking sick. Okay.
I don't think
sex work should be stigmatized or criminalized. Obviously, you've heard me talk for 20 minutes. You know that about me. But it fucking is.
Yeah.
It absolutely fucking is. And you are, if you think that sex work is, if you think there is no stigma in your brain around sex work, you are very much in the minority.
Yeah.
The normal way of thinking is to think that sex work is bad, is dirty mm-hmm. or wrong. Or whatever.
And you become ostracized or...
Yes. Sex workers have never been like a part of society, a part of normal society in the way that you are being made to believe they are now, right? Because mm-hmm. because now sex workers have podcasts.
Yeah.
And now sex workers have fan bases.
Sex worker, the podcast. Nice to see you.
Right.
Fansly.com/dogpick69.
But also like people who are like famous for porn.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Have podcasts.
Yeah.
And now have followers who follow them not for their porn.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's new. And that is 0.00001% of sex workers.
And radical.
Most sex workers are having a really fucking hard time.
Yeah.
Because of the stigmatization, because of the way they're treated. Not because I don't think that they're doing anything wrong, but their lives are not easy. Being a sex worker is not easy. Being a sex worker and then picking your child up from school is not a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
Okay? Being a sex worker and then trying to get a regular job is not a pleasant experience. So you can go ahead and you can see these fucking famous influencers who also have an OnlyFans. There's a million of them, mm-hmm. okay? They're famous, they're hot, and by the way, what they're doing on OnlyFans usually is not having sex.
Yeah, a lot of them are just like talking.
They're just showing their boobs.
Yeah.
They're showing their boobs, that's it. They're not having sex, and those are... Say whatever you want. Those are really different things. People show their boobs in movies.
Well,
okay?
And I'll say this, because I... did only, or Fansly or whatever. And it started with showing my boobs.
Yeah.
And doing artful nudes, some of which Lizzie saw and did the thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
The blue series, the red series. but there came a point where I was not making enough money.
Right.
Just showing my boobs and my lingerie.
Everybody else on there is not just showing their boobs.
Right. So you're going to end up showing whole if you want any type of money. And it's just going to escalate.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that these people, these famous people who have an OnlyFans are not telling you. You do not have a marketing degree, probably. Maybe you do, but still.
Even so. Yeah.
People aren't going to just look at it because you're on there. Yeah. People aren't going to just give you money for being on there. What's probably going to happen is you're going to make porn and it's not going to work. And then you're going to try to get a real job. And now there's porn of you on the internet. And that can ruin your fucking life. And that just is true. That's not my opinion. That just is the way the world
Again,
works.
Again, it's like chaperone. Like there are ways we want the world to be and agree with and want to step towards that.
I think you should be able to make porn and then be a real estate agent. But that's just not what
happens.
That's
not what it is.
That just isn't what happens. You can't make porn and then work at Forever 21.
Yeah, and also people who interact with sex workers, there is, again, there's this idea of, like, because you're on the internet, you're safe.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not true. And even just as both of us of women who talk on the internet, we have put in dangerous situations.
Yes.
And me, a woman who has porn on the internet, I've had people steal it.
Yeah,
I've had people post it where I didn't consent to it being posted. And boy, have I had some scary people in contact with me. And these people that are this level of scary would not be interested in me had there not been porn of me. And you know where I live.
Yeah.
If you do sex work on the internet and you have any type of social media, people can find out where you live so fucking easily.
My point is just there seems to be this new way of talking about sex work that people are using the guise of empowerment to basically pimp out young women.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are telling you that sex work is fucking fun and cool and empowering, they work for OnlyFans.
Yeah.
They literally, famously, work for OnlyFans. And OnlyFans makes fucking money off of you.
And is run by Big Zios, by the way.
By the way. Mm-hmm. But they make money off of you putting your fucking butthole on there. That's how they make their money. So why would they not be interested in telling you that it's good and cool and empowering? Yeah. Of course, they're fucking pimps, dude.
Yes.
That's all they're doing. They're taking a portion of your money that you make off of your body and telling you that you did a fucking good job by showing it. That's what a pimp does. Sorry, but they own your body. They have the rights to photos and videos of your body.
There is a sex worker who I think if you are going to make the decision to go into sex work, which is your right and I agree with you on all points and I'm also like me personally, I'm a fucking grown up,
right?
And I have my own money, and my dad is dead, and it doesn't really matter because I'm already this bitch on the internet.
You're not going to years try to get a job in an office.
The ship has sailed. So, and there are like Miss Giggles is her name on social media. She's a friend of mine, Megan, and she is like a business owner, a huge social media person, and during the pandemic, she fucking was like, shit, I lost all my income. I used to walk dogs. I used to work in service. And she launched her own OnlyFans. And she's such a shrewd fucking business partner person that she figured out a way to keep herself afloat.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there is a situation where sex work is your option.
Yeah.
And you can be as smart about it as you want. Megan is also in her 30s and like publicly has a platform like, I have OnlyFans. I'm a fat woman and I'm loud and I don't want to hear your fucking fat phobia bullshit about it. Like, I so love that and I so like want, because if the power is on our side, then you can't rape us and kill us and no one will care because the system will protect us. But the system doesn't.
Yeah, that's just not the
case. It's just not the truth.
In fact, the opposite is true.
Right.
if you are outspoken about how you're a sex worker.
Yeah.
And then somebody sexually assaults you.
Right.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
And that is not me saying that. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think if you're a sex worker and somebody sexually assaults you, I believe you. And I think that's horrible. But get a fucking jury of 50-year-old women to believe
right.
that. Right. Yeah. Get a jury of 50-year-old men to believe that. Get them on your side. Because that is the world that we live in. And I just wish more people were saying that part of it. Because all I fucking see on the internet is like, it's fucking sick, dude.
It's
sick. And then you see comments of like young men hating on it, mm-hmm. but you don't see the perspective of women saying like,
hey, watch out.
Or, hey, I tried this and it blew up in my fucking face.
Yeah, I mean, I also, there is something that you will find out in the beginning when you do sex work on the internet. People who wanted to see what you look like naked will pay to see what you look like naked, and you'll get a little paycheck.
Yeah.
And that feels good and gives you some confidence, whatever it may be. After a while, that dries up, and now yeah. you are continuing to do more and more things to get more money. And you can build a bit, like, there are people, again, who, like, are fucking posting totally. On all the Reddit thread, whatever.
Yeah.
But, hey, sometimes you come out with $40 in a month.
Yeah.
And you did porn.
For 40 bucks.
For 40 bucks. Is that empowering? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel great to me.
Right.
When you tell your accountant, hey, should I put money aside right. for these earnings? And she says, that's probably, you're probably
fine.
You're probably fine on that.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's tough.
Ouchie. Listen to your aunties. Can we say that?
Just like, you know, there are plenty of ways to make money.
Yeah. I mean,
just get a, how about this? How about before you make an OnlyFans, you make a Depop?
Yes.
Sell a few shirts.
Right.
See what's going on there.
Do panty stuff, maybe.
Yeah, like anonymous. But like, I'm very much saying don't do sex work at all.
Yeah.
If you're like, if you're not sure that that's what you want to do for the rest of your fucking life and you don't have a plan to be good at it.
Yeah.
Don't fucking do it. Don't do it.
It's way more of a game changer than you might think because you're a young like, person.
No.
I'll say this. How about this? I have a very, very cool fiance who yeah. is incredibly liberal and had no... But we had to have conversations before I had an OnlyFans of yeah. like, what are you showing? How does this make you feel?
Also, you met him before you had one.
Of course.
That's
right.
A huge difference.
Yes.
Than meeting someone and then telling them that you have one.
And it makes... My fiance, I love him and I'm marrying him for many reasons. And one of them is that he's like, I don't give a fuck. It's your life.
Yeah.
Like, it's your body. I love you. I like that you're hot. I don't give a shit about the internet or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You know, but there will be people, it will affect your dating probably in a way that you're not.
It will also affect
everything.
People will not be friends with you.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people will not be friends with you because of that.
Yeah.
People like, we live in New York. We live in the liberal bubble. We live in fucking Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We live in the liberal bubble inside the liberal bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who would not be friends with someone if they knew they were doing sex work.
Were your favorite sex worker's favorite sex worker?
Yeah. 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 And I still know people yeah, who think that that's, some of them are like turf flavored feminists.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this is actually bad for women. There's uh-huh. that kind of woman. There's also people that are just like, I think it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
You know?
And fuck them, but.
And fuck them, but they're out there. I don't know if you know that they're out there.
More of them are out there than.
If you're spending all of your time on the internet, you're being fed people who think like you.
Yeah.
So it's easy to forget.
Yeah.
It's easy. And it's also easy to think that the only people who think that are people that you would hate, right? Like people
yes.
who are like Trump supporters
yes,
and
yes.
racists and yeah. whatever. You think that, and those people do think that, but it's easy to fall into this mindset where you think those are the only people that think that. Buddy,
no.
they're not.
Yeah.
Some of your friends think that.
Yeah.
Some of your friends think sex work is disgusting.
Sure.
Just so you know. That is true. There some people, if you do this, there are people in your life that you love that will think this is bad and wrong.
Yes, and will maybe have a lower view of you, even if they won't admit that
exactly.
to themselves or you.
Yes.
It will.
They might not have like a confrontational conversation with you, but you're not going to get invited to brunch.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is.
And you want to go to brunch.
And you want to go to brunch.
Work at fucking get a shitty job and don't
be a waitress, dude. It sucks.
Yeah.
listen, all work is exploitative. I don't know what to tell you, but this one a little more than the others. So just get a fucking waitressing job.
And you heard it here, folks. You better work.
But not...
You better not sex work.
You better work the regular kind.
Don't show hole. You'll regret it.
You're 19. Don't show hole when you're 19.
You gotta be 30.
Yeah. Yeah, you can show hole if you're 36.
Once upon a time.
Wouldn't it be cool if we made all porn 36 and over?
Yes!
And then men don't get to be like fucking pedophiles.
Right!
Every man.
I'd vote for that.
Yeah!
Okay, you dog.
Ooh, once upon a
MILF
time.
MILF porn Mike over here, huh?
A 35-year-old woman
work.
In Brooklyn, New York.
MILF porn.
Was a MILF who needed a little extra spending money. Lizzie, where can they find you?
Follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy. Listen to my other podcast, Close Calls, blah, blah, blah. Everything's in my Instagram bio. I run a show every Wednesday and Saturday in Brooklyn called Comedians You Should Know. Andrea.
Andrea Comedy 69 across all platforms. Fanslead.com/dogpig69 if you want to pay my hypocritical ass some money to see some whole...
You're not being hypocritical. Whatever.
I know. I'm fucking with you. And the YouTube channel, Respectfully Podcast. Get in there. Do some comments. We love you. Good night.